So as we know, the book of Hosea, written around 750 BC, was written to Israel, kind of in its last 40 years of its peak, prior to the beginning of the captivities, which was God's chastisement on his children. Hosea was told to go marry a prostitute, which was likening God's love for Israel, who he likened them to an unfaithful wife. And we've seen that as we walk through. But the primary theme of the book, of course, has been for God's people to return from their sinful ways, from their disobedience, to return unto the Lord. And chapter 10 is kind of like the capstone of that, where God tells them to break up their fallow ground, likening them to a field that the soil is hardened and needs to be plowed, prepared for some seeds, which is true for all of our hearts, isn't it? Our hearts need to remain soft and can never be hard. So beginning in verse 1, here of Hosea 10, the Bible says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they've made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars and shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springing up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present, to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and unto the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned. From the days of Gibeah, there they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Bethrabel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. So again, break up your fallow ground. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now, that we would listen, allow our hearts to be softened, that we might listen and hear and respond. And Lord, that we would break up any fallow ground in our hearts. Allow you to change us, get us back to where we need to be. So have your will and way in our hearts. Thank you for the privilege to open your word together this evening. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So again, about 40 years of their final peak before the chastisement's coming, which is the captivities. And we see the sin that God is pointing out. He said there in verse 9, thou hast sinned. But then in the beginning of the chapter, he begins to say, here are the reasons why you're going to have to be chastised. You're not listening. I keep speaking to you. He says there in verse 1, you've brought fruit unto yourself. You've increased the altars and you've made goodly images. In other words, they had turned their back on the Lord as their trust, and they had begun to make altars unto false gods, images unto false gods, fruit to false gods. And their heart wasn't right with God. As it says there in verse 2, their heart is divided. They were trying to live a double life. So, you know, a lot of Christians try this as well. They try to live for God on Sundays and live for the devil during the week. And it never works, this double heart approach. Even James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In James chapter 1, verse 8. And Solomon in Proverbs talks about people speaking with a double heart. And so their heart was divided. And he says there in verse 3, they're realizing. They say, we have no king because we feared not the Lord. Ultimately, that was the issue, wasn't it? If you go to Romans 3, God here in Romans 3 is describing sinful man today in the church age. And he boils it down to this fear thing, that not fearing God. And this word fear doesn't just mean to be afraid, although that's part of it. We should be afraid of hell. But also having the reverence, a respect for Almighty God. Notice Romans 3 down in verse here God is talking about wicked man. Wow, it starts at verse 13. We'll just start there. He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. And then he wraps it all up here in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What a description of sinful man today. No fear of God before their eyes. It just no respect, no fear, no reverence for our Creator. They just don't care. And that's where Israel had gotten to. After decades and decades of disobedience and worshiping false gods, he said, they don't fear me anymore. And that's man today. No fear of God before their eyes. And until there is a fear of God, people won't get saved. You know, if you look back to when you got saved, there was a genuine respect, reverence, if you will, and even a genuine fear of the consequences of our sin executed by our Creator. But today, it's that fear seems to not be there. And so, speaking of Israel, he says they feared not the Lord. And then in verse 4 of our passage, Hosea 10, is they've spoken words swearing falsely. So what a list, just in these four verses, fruit unto themselves, false altars, false images, a divided heart, not fearing God, swearing falsely. He says in verse 9, thou hast sinned. And this is just a sampling, Israel, of some of the sin that you need to deal with. And so this whole thing, it's obviously primarily spoken to Israel as a nation. But we can also apply this to our own hearts personally, can't we? And so verse 12 is really where the heart of the message begins, where he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy and break up your fallow ground. That, again, that word fallow means untilled. And we can all picture a farmer's field where it's been rained on and then dried and rained on and then dried, and it's just hard as a rock. And God said that is where their hearts were. Their hearts had gotten hard, and God wants our hearts to be soft. He wants them to be tilled and ready and prepared for the seed of His Word to be able to work in our lives. And so He says, if you would sow in righteousness instead of wickedness, rather than reap chastisement, you would reap mercy. He says there in verse 12. But instead, they've been sowing in sin. They're going to reap the chastisement. But break up your fallow ground. What a statement. So let's look at a few scriptures on this truth. Proverbs 28:13, we'll start there. And just picture your own heart. What is it? Picture it as soil. Because Jesus likens it to soil, does he not, in the parable of the sower, in the Gospels? He likens our heart to soil, and he likens the sower to God and the seed to his word. And he talks about all the different kinds of soils. Our heart is like that. And God's saying, picture your heart as soil. What needs to happen? So Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Someone who's covering their sin, someone who's hiding their sin, someone who's trying to keep their sins from the Holy Spirit, that's not the kind of soil God wants our hearts to be, is it? That is fallow ground. God wants it to be tilled. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, in Psalm 66:18. So God always wants us to be constantly evaluating our own heart. Not our neighbor's heart, by the way. Our hearts. Go to 1 Corinthians 11 and I'll show you this. But we are, this is just a glimpse of one of the messages at Family Camp, but self-examination is scriptural. We're to be constantly evaluating our own hearts, our own soil. Is it what it needs to be? Am I listening? Am I responding to the Holy Spirit when I read the Word, when I hear the Word? Notice 1 Corinthians 11, down in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See there it says, judge ourselves? That's something that we need to be doing every day, is judging ourselves. And that's what he's saying to Israel. You need to change what you're sowing so that you'll reap the right things. You need to let me soften your fallow ground so that you can hear me, so you can respond to my pleading, the power of my word. And that doesn't happen when our hearts are hard. And so we've got to be always in this mode of personal evaluation, as it says here, judge ourselves. It doesn't just happen one time and you're done. It doesn't work that way. Something needs to happen every day between now and when Jesus comes. Amen? Constant personal evaluation. And it's work. We'll go to Psalm 139:23. Look at David's prayer that he turned to God after being caught out in his sin, and he realized, you know what, I need this. And so he says here in Psalm 139:23, something, I mean, we don't need to pray these exact words, but we need to be praying this concept. He says, search me. My favorite invitation hymn, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It takes a bit of courage to pray this and mean it, doesn't it? Search me. Lord, look in my heart, look into my thoughts, and point out what's not right. That takes some courage. Most Christians don't want to do that because they know the Holy Spirit's going to answer and say, okay, this, 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 you need to break up your fallow ground. And so God is saying to Israel, break up your fallow, soften your hearts and listen. I'm pointing out the areas in your life that need change. I'm pointing out the sin. Let's get rid of those things. Let's get your heart softened. The mercy's ready. God's always ready to be merciful. But we have to take that first step and repent, don't we? And that's what he's saying to Israel. Back here in our passage, he says it's time to seek the Lord. Hosea 10:12. It's time to seek the Lord. It's always time to seek the Lord. Jeremiah says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. If your heart is fallow ground, you're not seeking the Lord. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. So he says, it's time to seek the Lord. And look what he says there in verse 12. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's the God that we serve. Here at They have been so wicked. They've been so disobedient that God had to use Hosea the prophet and force him to go marry a prostitute just to give them an illustration that they could understand. But he's ready to forgive. He's always ready to rain mercy down, rain righteousness down. If we will break up our fallow ground, we always have to take that first step. Break up the fallow ground and say, "Yes, Lord, I hear you. Show me the areas that I need to fix." And God says, "I will rain the righteousness." Go to Isaiah 55 and we'll see this. I know I turn here a lot, but it's just, it shows the amazing, merciful God that we serve. Here in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way." So notice it always starts with us, doesn't it? "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." He says, if the wicked and the unrighteous will forsake his way, will forsake the thoughts, and then what? "Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Go back to our passage here in verse 13. "You've plowed wickedness and you've reaped iniquity." This principle of reaping and sowing is all through the Scriptures. It's not just in Galatians chapter 6, is it? If you sow rebellion, you're going to reap unhappiness. You sow complaining, you're going to reap depression and bitterness. You sow gossip, you're going to reap loss of friendships and hurt friends. You sow selfishness, you're going to reap hunger in the soul. You sow bitterness and unforgiveness, you're going to reap a stifled spiritual life. We could go on and on. "You've plowed wickedness, you've reaped iniquity." We saw in chapter 8, "They've sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." So the answer is always the same. Repent and return. Repent and return unto the Lord. He says there in verse 13, "You have eaten the fruit of lies." Of course, the greatest lie is started with the devil, right? The Bible's not true. And isn't that what he's constantly whispering in a Christian's ear who wants to live in sin? "Oh, you won't be chastised. The Bible's not true. God isn't going to get a stick out and deal to you because the Bible's not true." So he's been whispering the same basic theme since the Garden of Eden. The Bible's not true. But guess what? It is true. And when we continually disobey and not break up our fallow ground, chastisement is on the horizon. That is a fact. In verse 13, "Because thou didst trust in thy way." The root of most of our problems is usually pride. And here we see that they were trusting in themselves rather than trusting in the Lord. And God has a lot to say about that in his word. But what he's encouraging them and all Christians to do is to make sure that our heart is soft. Job said, "He maketh my heart soft." Make sure our hearts are soft so that we can be responsive when the Holy Spirit points things out. Be honest like David was. Say, "Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts." And be willing to respond when he answers that prayer by breaking up the fallow ground, repenting, and letting God work miracles and restore. Otherwise, we will always reap what we sow, as we see in this passage. And the rest of Hosea will be just more of the same. Ultimately, return. Come back to me. Repent. Get right. So again, picture your heart as a soil. Where does it stand? How soft is it? Or how hard is it? Only you know the answer to that, and the Holy Spirit can help you with that. if it's not where it needs to be. So break up your fallow ground. Lord, thank you for speaking to us from your precious and